a living sacrifice to God. I remember a quote by William MacDonald, you can't give a life in one day. It takes a lifetime to give a life. It's a daily process, isn't it? And that's what God wants us to do. But look at what happens if the branch doesn't abide in the vine. And he says in verse 6, if he does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Wow. If you've got a branch that has that's not abiding and that he's cut off or something like that, how long will those leaves on that branch remain green? Maybe 2 or 3 days, but it'll wither and it'll die up and dry, won't it? And I think it's interesting, they are the ones that cast them into the fire. They are burned. They gather them and throw them in the fire. What does the world want to do in each and every, in the lives of Christians? All you have to do is watch the news, right? On the news reports nightly, how many reports do you see about Christian work going on? Where they're really, you know, putting a Christian up on a pedestal or something and talking about all the good works that they're doing. You don't see it, do you? But if a Christian does something wrong, that they can get something on him, it'll be all over the news, won't it? I can remember back in the 80s and 90s, there was a lot of that going on. But listen to what he says. If you abide in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be given, it be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So are you my disciples. Wow. Let's just keep on reading there. I don't want to run out of time in this particular passage and leave the others out. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Abiding. What's one of the ways that we can tell that we're abiding in Christ? I think it's obvious here. Prayer is one of the first ones mentioned. If we're abiding in Christ, what will be the result of our prayer life? We will see the Lord will answer our prayers. You can see here that another way of telling if we're really abiding in Christ is we'll keep his commandments. And what is the great commandment that we see in John's writings? To love one another. To care for one another. And that's true, isn't it? And he says, and when you do this, what will be the result of that? Look down in verse 11. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Isn't that what we want, is to be full of joy? To have a smile on our face? And you know what? I can't think of anything better that puts a smile on our face is when we're able to help someone else and to see God work in their lives, and we see the blessing that he gives us. It's amazing how this whole thing works together. But look at what he says as he goes on, that your joy might be full. And then he gives us the commandment to love one another. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Wow. Who's our best friend? It's the Lord Jesus, isn't it? He gave himself for us. And when we lay down, as it were, our lives to him, we commit our lives to him, and we follow him, and we serve him, and we do all of these things, what do we become? Friends. And when you're good friends with someone, What is the result of that? You can talk to them, can't you? Do you have somebody that you can go to when you're struggling with an issue and they'll listen to what you've got to say? And they'll put their arms around you and tell you that they love you, they care for you? Isn't that what the Lord does? But, you know, it goes on here. He says here, we go from being a servant. Look at what it says there in verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father I have made known to you. Isn't that what happens in life when you're friends with the Lord Jesus? Isn't it amazing how we come together on Sunday mornings and we see all these different guys stand up and share something that the Lord's given them? And you wonder, I remember the first time I ever went to a meeting, Karen took me in 1969. And my question when the meeting was over that morning was, who put all this program together this morning? I mean, we had probably 10, 15 guys that stood up and shared something, a song or whatever. And all of them fit together. Who put together this program? It was the Holy Spirit, wasn't it? It was a result of abiding in Christ. And I think that's what puts it all together. When we see this love and how the God is giving you precious thoughts that you would never have had otherwise. It's a blessing, isn't it? You become a friend of Christ. He's my best friend. Now, listen to what else it says. Because he's a friend, listen to what he says. Verse 16, you didn't choose me. He's talking to the disciples there. But I chose you. And appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. You know, if the only purpose in us getting saved was to go to heaven, that'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? But why does he leave us here on earth? He leaves us here on earth so that we can serve him and we can be his hands and his feet here on earth. It's interesting, this word here, it's appointed. If you look up that Greek word, it's ordained. Ordained. When you hear the word ordained, what do you think about? Here's a particular church that has ordained or set aside this particular person to do this particular ministry. You know, I think by way of application, we could say everybody that gets saved, they become an ordained minister, don't they? I'm an ordained minister. Not for the Reedsville Bible Chapel, but I'm an ordained minister of the Lord, and so are you. And what does he want you to do? He wants you to go and bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit, fruit that remains. He wants you to become one of his best friends, and he'll reveal things to you that you never dreamed that he would reveal to you. I can remember before I got saved, reading the Bible, you know, I could close it up. I didn't learn anything. Nothing was revealed to me. But now it's like every time I read the Bible, something new pops off the page at me. What a blessing. But look at the third thing. I've got about 13 minutes, I think, according to that clock. Listen to point number three here. Bearing fruit as a result of being disciplined. Listen to what Hebrews 12:11 says. Now, no chastening or training or correcting is the word there for chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Isn't it amazing how the Lord allows circumstances, or I should say brings circumstances in our lives that teaches us some very important lessons? I've got one of my nephew's sons Just a few months ago, he had a motorcycle wreck. He was trying to take a four-wheeler and jump a ditch, and he was running 60 miles an hour when he went up, and the motorcycle did this and came down and hit and flipped and rolled head over end, and he flipped about four or five times. And if his dad hadn't been out in the lower part of the farm getting up hay, he would never known his son was there, and he would have died. I had breakfast with this young fella a short time later after he got out of the hospital and was doing better. And you know what? I can't believe the energy that that young boy's got now. He is full of excitement for the Lord. But before, you know, he didn't want to hear. He wanted to do it his way. And you know what? My brother, Philip, told him, he said, you know what? The Lord has just given you a wake-up call. You ever get a wake-up call in the middle of the night when the phone rings? Now, it's not fun when it's a telemarketer, is it? But what if somebody calls you in the night like that and it's some good news? Hey, Dad, this is Wayne. We just had a baby boy. We named him Mark Wayne after your middle name. We got three Waynes in the family. I'm a Jerry Wayne Sr., he's a Jerry Wayne Jr., and his little boy is Mark Wayne. Three Waynes. You don't mind a phone call like that, do you? But you know what? When we need to be disciplined, that's what God does in our lives. He'll give us a good wake-up call, and it's called chastening. Back in the days when I was in school, what did the teachers call it? A paddling. Right? But look at the next one here. To bear fruit, I think you see this in James chapter 5. Listen to what it says here. It says in point number 4 there, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the Greek word there means restored. And he's not just talking about let's sit around and have a gossip meeting and let's talk about who's the biggest sinner. Right? He's saying confess to one another your offenses. If you've trespassed or sinned against someone else, what do? You go to them and you talk to them, right? Okay? And you want that relationship restored. And if you do that, what will be the result? Well, he gives an illustration of Elijah. Look at verse 17. Elijah was a man with nature like ours, and he prayed and earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. 3.5 years. Have you had relationships where it took a time period in order to get that relationship restored? It happens in life, doesn't it? I hope it's okay to share this story. I just thought of it. There's a friend of mine in the room here, Debbie, and she got saved in the early 90s, I think it was, and she was struggling with someone who offended her. And I told her, I said, Debbie, here's how you'll know that you have dealt with this thing before God and you're ready to go and talk to this person and confess and tell them what they did to hurt you. When you're ready to start praying that this guy gets saved, that's how you'll know you're ready. And you know what? I remember one night or one Sunday she came here and told me, she said, Jerry, I'm ready. I'm ready to go talk to this person that hurt me. I'm praying for them that they'll be saved. And you know what? The Lord worked out circumstances that would just within a few months, he had to come to Burlington. And guess what happened? She told him how he hurt her, and he started crying, telling her how he was so sorry for what he did to her. Isn't that what he's talking about here? That's why Elijah's in this illustration. Sometimes it takes time to get these relationships restored. But what do we have to do in the process? We pray, right? We pray for this situation that God would perform a miracle in this situation and that we would see fruit as a result of it. Now, isn't that exactly what happens? But look at the last one here. The last illustration I've got on this. It says, and it's the parable of the sower. You might know, usually we go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, to read that story, but it's found in three different Gospels. And listen to what it says in Luke's story of this parable of sowing seed. And you know, of course, the different types of ground that the seed falls upon. He says, now this is the parable. The seed is the word of God, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart have heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Now think about that. Patience. Was Elijah patient? I'm the only one that's serving you. The Lord had to tell him how many people he had that had not bowed the knee to Baal, right? But this is it. It's patience. I remember we taught the kids a song when they were little. And it was really neat. We'd say, have patience, don't be in such a hurry. Remember, remember, you only start to worry. And you know what? When the kids was doing something and they were not listening to us, we could start singing that song. Just like that. Okay, I get it. I get it. Now, it was funny when we did it to them. But it wasn't long, they turned around and did it to us. But that's the way life is, isn't it? And we discover that the people that God has brought into our lives, children, family, friends, church, family, as we work together, what is God doing? He's really working in our hearts and lives, isn't it? And our relationships really reveal the fruit. And loving one another and caring for one another, that's the illustration, isn't it? Let me just close with this verse here. It's in the center column at the very bottom. For a good tree bringeth forth not corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. You know, we looked at some of those verses in Galatians, the fruit of the flesh. And that's definitely not what we want in our lives, is it? It's not what we want. We want to bear good fruit. And the good fruit, we can see several illustrations. Number one, dying to self. Okay? Abiding in Christ. Following Him, we saw that. Allow God to chasten us when we do things that are wrong. What happens many times when the Lord chastens us? We get mad and we run, right? You know, we all need a good failure and a good disappointment in life. The failure takes away the pride, and the disappointment shows you who we're really serving. If we're serving ourselves, we'll run, we'll escape. But if we're serving the Lord, we will be like this story that James talks about. We're willing to be patient. We're willing to pray. We're willing to go to the other person that has harmed us, try to deal with the situation, and what will be the results? It'll be fruit, won't it? We've got so much to be thankful for. You know, I heard Steve share this when we had our 30th anniversary. And Steve was talking about who would ever think that the Lord would have done what he has done in the last 30 years. You know, it's interesting. A few years ago, I was asked to speak at a workers' conference and to share some different things about different materials to use and so forth. And I had a book on biblical eldership. Some of you might remember Alexander Strock came here and spoke. Steve and I did a series, I think it was about 16 weeks. And in that book, when I got it out and looked at it, I had a list of all the names of the guys that came to that Bible study. And you know what was amazing? All but one guy who has a serious health problem today are either an elder, a deacon, a full-time worker, or a missionary. I didn't realize the fruit that had come forth until I looked at that list of names that came to that Bible study. And you know, all we were was just a link in a chain. You know, the reason where they're at today is because they've been dying to self. They've been following the Lord. They've been chastised a few times. I could tell you some stories about how the Lord has chastised them. But you know what? They dealt with it, and the Lord's blessing them today. That's the fruit that remains, isn't it? That's what we all want. We have no greater joy than to hear that our children walk in the truth. And we've got a number of young people here today. You want me to tell you how to put a big smile on your parents' face? You want me to tell you how to put a big smile on your grandparents' face? You go tell them that you love them. You want to serve the Lord. You want to do whatever you can to be a part of His ministry that He's given to you, and you want to bear fruit in your life. And you'll put the biggest smile on your grandparents and your parents' face that you've ever dreamed. You can't imagine how big it is. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you this morning for your love for us. And Father, we thank you that we can say that greater love hath no one than this, than for one to lay down his life for his friends. But Father, your Son laid down his life for us when we were enemies. We were alienated by wicked works. We thank you that you loved us and you gave him for us. And we thank you that because he was willing to die for us, we are willing to live for him. Would you help us now as we go out these doors? As we go out, help us to remember that we are your servants. We want to be obedient to you. We want to see fruit in our lives. And so we commit ourselves to you this morning afresh. Father, we don't know every heart here in this audience this morning. Maybe there's someone here who's never really trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, we pray that if they've never done this, today would be the day that they would see a transformation in their hearts and in their lives, and to realize that they're saved from sins and they're going to be with you throughout all eternity. And Father, maybe there's someone here who's struggling with an issue of sin. Father, we pray that they would deal with that sin in their hearts and lives so that they can produce fruit for you. Father, if there's relationships among us this morning that needs to be restored, we pray, Lord, that we would come to one another and confess our faults, and that we would learn to love one another the way you've loved us. Father, just help us to have patience and to be willing to make ourselves a living sacrifice to you on a daily basis. And we commit it all to you this morning in our Savior's precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. And I've got a lot of these coins. If any of you would like one, just see me and I'll give them to you.